Welcome to He Changed the World from Forest Baptist Church, a series of talks about Jesus Christ from Mark's Gospel, recorded by me, David Last. Talk number 7, Fame, Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 19. Jesus can really draw a crowd. Here in chapter 3, people flock to him. He said earlier that his message would burst through all constraints. Well, he's certainly doing that. This preacher now has a reach which extends beyond the borders of his homeland. He's an international figure. Such fame can be a heady brew. The desire to be a celebrity, to be known, to go viral. Many lives have crashed on those rocks. Even those who reach the heights and gain the financial rewards often find the price they pay is devastating. The vast majority never achieve the ambition. They dream of lighting up the internet with their name, their story, their video, their photo, but the moment of glory is quickly soiled by the vile comments and soon buried beneath the avalanche of new content. Jesus shields himself from such foolishness. As the crowd increases and the offer of fame allures, he creates distance. He gives power away to others. When a wave of people flow up against him, desperate to touch the man who can heal, he has a boat ready to sail away. When dramatic voices scream out titles of honour, "You're the Son of God," Jesus silences them. He's not looking for such things to be said, even though they're true. Right now, he could easily have an army of thousands marching behind him on the roads. But instead, Jesus climbs up a mountain with just 12 men whom he will ask to speak for him and to whom he will give his power. This is so refreshingly different. It's not that Jesus is denying what he will become. He will be king of a kingdom without end. He will have authority that God has never given to anyone else. It's promised. It will happen. Today it is happening. Jesus is honoured, and he's followed all over the world. But here, he will not scheme to get it. Humility, not self-promotion, is the way he will live. God, his Father, is sending him to an early and shame-filled death. Its shadow already hangs over him. Soon, so soon, he will look like the most defeated man on earth, a failure to be forgotten. Yet he knows he must sacrifice himself in that way. If many are to be saved, he must love others more than his own life. Is he mad? Leaders don't survive this way. The world doesn't work this way. You fight or you die. You push yourself or others push you down. No, he isn't mad. He's the Son of God, showing us what life was intended to be, love, rather than what we have turned it into. So Jesus stands on a hillside and looks around him. He truly knows the 12 men who stand there because he personally called each one. He can name them. He can even rename some of them because they will be different now. Many are ordinary. Some are despised. None have the social status or natural skill set to build a legacy for him when he's gone. But he appoints them to speak for him. Jesus even accepts that among them is a traitor who will betray him to death. But there's no need to go on a witch hunt or fear the enemy within. Jesus will not behave like a suspicious dictator or a bullying boss, striking down anyone who might constitute a threat to his position. Jesus can look into the eyes of one who will sell him out and know nothing will go wrong. All will be well. God is in charge. What do you think? Don't you find something intriguing about such a person, such a leader? We tend to be our own obsession, don't we? Isn't it attractive to see one who isn't like that at all? A leader who knows the names and the characters of his team, who cares deeply for them, who shares his power with them, who will sacrifice himself completely for them and countless others. That's how Mark's Gospel presents Jesus. Isn't he a leader worthy of our trust? We often fear that even our happiest and best relationships will be spoiled by the selfishness and misery of this world. But there's no fear of that with Jesus. He is selfless. He does whatever is needed for the good of others. Come and discover that. Jesus invites you to turn from your sins receive God's forgiveness, trust him as king, and live forever. And he will not let you down. Thank you for listening. Before we finish, you can hear the passage from Mark's Gospel read out, and then I hope you'll join us next time for episode 8.
Mark chapter 3, verse 7 to 19. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God!" But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder: Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him.